call me.
Fans, we are back live with another edition of the Cheap Heat Productions Pro Wrestling Podcast. But as per the custom, this is the special show known as the Mario Mancini Show. And before we get to the draw, Mario Mancini, as per custom, I'm going to throw to Morris Shortle over in Ireland for his opening comments on this, a special WrestleMania preview show.
Yes, I'd like to welcome Mario Mancini to the show again, as well as yourself, Jack. And you can find Mario Mancini on the Hey Roma podcast, which streams every Friday on YouTube, which is kind of like the Mario Mancini show featuring Paul Roma. That's doing very well.
And not to bury the lead, but Mario, can you talk about the live action that we have undertaking right now?
Well, I feel like garbage, but I just had to get out of the way the possibility of having COVID. So I took a COVID-19 test, and it's negative. So I just have a kind of, I guess, a cold or something, but...
We'll check it again. Another 13 minutes, things could change.
Maurice was gracious enough to say, hey, man, you could skip the podcast if you're not feeling well. And Jack and I will just do a WrestleMania review. But you know what? I didn't want to do that because it is WrestleMania this weekend. And I know it's the biggest time of the year for the WWE. They have the Hall of Fame inductions, and I know how excited Vince McMahon gets for this stuff, and I know how prepared Vince McMahon gets for this stuff, and I know he must have been in Philadelphia last week getting ready for this, and I can't wait for him to come out and do the opening. Welcome to WrestleMania! I can't wait till he does that, and then he hugs everybody and takes his finger and cuffs them up to something. And, you know, I know that, you know, Stephanie's going to be there, and you know, I think with everybody going to the Hall of Fame, you know, I think it's going to be a good Hall of Fame induction. You know what? Somebody really took care of all the wrestlers for so many years. You know, when I was in the company, and he always gave everybody kind of special treatment, and like Mr. T and everything, and Muhammad Ali, he wasn't a wrestler, but they should at least recognize him as caring for a lot of the boys. That's Dr. George Sahorian. He should have a spot right there. He took care of all the boys, all the stuff and everything. And I don't, it just should be a gala spectacular. You know what I mean? You know,
Sahorian should have his own wing. He was that important to the golden era of the World Wrestling Federation.
Well, listen, if anybody's around from Mel Phillips's family, you should get them down there too. I think that would be a good thing. But it is a big weekend for WrestleMania. And Eric Bischoff's a piece of shit. He's a piece of dog shit, by the way. I would tell him that to his face if I saw him. I really don't give a fuck. I don't know him, but he's a piece of shit. So I just want to say that.
Mario, before we explore that further, I wanted to ask you, we've done some crack research here.
I've never done crack, Jack. Never. Listen, I'll admit cocaine use back in the 80s, but you know, 83 before I went to wrestling school when I was in high school, but I never touched it again, let alone crack.
Fair enough. Some hardcore in-depth research. And I wanted to ask you, do you realize that you and Vince McMahon share some significant commonalities in addition to you working in the company, et cetera? Do you realize that you have a major, sort of a singularly unique, well, not singularly, but a few select people have this sort of commonality with Vince? Do you know what that is that you share?
I don't.
Well, I will break it to you. Both of you were on the cover of muscle and fitness.
Oh, God, for God's sakes.
Look at those traps. Look at those delts.
Listen.
Look at the vascularity.
Listen, I'm not going to lie. I was shrugging 455 off the
stick. Absolutely. You know,
I was shrugging 455. I was also on steroids.
No.
Yes, I was. Yeah, you know what Maurice loves about me the most? I tell the truth, and I don't give a shit. He can't say I do not tell the truth. I was on a very safe steroid cycle. I was on testosterone, Cipionate, Deca.
Deca, Winstrol?
No, I don't think I was on an oral. I tried Anadrol 50. It was just too much for me. I gave it away. My chest was purple. I couldn't. I'll tell you, shoot though, Jack. I'll tell you, shoot. When's Vince McMahon's birthday? Is August 24th. My lovely daughter, who's 6 months pregnant, that just assisted me with that COVID test, her birthday is August 24th.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a true story.
I think we're going to spend the show bashing people today. I know Jack's got a few people to bash as well, and I think I do as well after the email I just got.
Before we go back.
Eric Bischoff. Check that out.
Chris Masters body from the super smart fan Mike D. Look at that. Putting you over, sir.
Oh, well, listen. I was frustrated. And that was the time I walked around the dressing room and Strongbow would go, Mr. Roman, can I see you for a minute? And I go, yeah, not quite, Chief. Not quite. Because I wanted to push. I wanted to do something. And I was so frustrated. I finally went for it. And I hooked up with Greg Hayes, who was a world-class powerlifter, represented the United States in powerlifting meets in Canada. And he started training me, and he taught me how to powerlift, and he actually got me competing with Scott Taylor up in New Hampshire, up in his powerlifting meets there in the 242-pound weight class. So I took it very seriously. I loved my powerlifting back in the day, although I just got some cortisone in this left shoulder. The doctor came back into the examining room after he looked at the x-ray, and he went, I go, what's wrong, Doc? He goes, that shoulder's deformed. He goes, you can't even operate on it. He goes, all you can do for the rest of your life is get cortisone injections. He goes, it's grossly deformed. So before we go bashing people, how can I put this? Miracle Generation has returned to my end of Paradise Alley Pro Wrestling. My end of Paradise Alley Pro Wrestling and my classes on Monday and Tuesday, which I greatly appreciate because I'm old and brittle and they come in and help me along with Chris Battle, you know, and Curdy Purdy, Crazy Kurt. So they come in and help me. And Miracle Generation has returned on my end of Paradise Alley Pro Wrestling. Now they haven't appeared on the other end of Paradise Alley Pro Wrestling because Roma, they still have heat with Roma. So, but I love these kids, Flash and Kai, and they're the hottest tag team in the United States, and they go all over the place. They did just go to Canada. They are phenomenal. Miracle Generation, they are amazing. Absolutely. Watching them, I explained to the students after they did a match, I said, you ever see a fireworks display? That match was just like a fireworks display. You know, one boof, 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 boof. And then at the end, he just crazy. These guys fly. So I brought up Jack. They mentioned they went to Canada, and I'll keep that for off the air. And I said, listen, I'm going to get you to Great North Wrestling. I'll get you there. not this show. I said, but the next show he runs, I will send you there. And Jack will be very happy with you guys. Extremely happy with you guys. Like I said, they're one of the hottest tag teams. They hold like 8 belts. So tag team titles. So I just wanted to get that, put that in Jack's ear. He's like, you sure will be able to work for Great North Wrestling? I went, trust me.
Well, that's the exciting part about June 29th in Napanee. And we'll talk about some of the other logistics there later. But I've been doing media, and quite excited to put over that we're starting a partnership with Paradise Alley Pro Wrestling under your tutelage and Mr. Roma's, and some of the hottest talent in the Northeast, if not the country, will be coming out of your school, and the fans up here will get a chance to see them. So that's definitely exciting news.
Well, yeah. I mean, I said Miracle Generation up there. If you had these four core, if you had Miracle Generation, Brad Baylor, and Richard Holiday in your stable, you know, and then he'll turn around and go, you think he'll want Hammerstone? You know what I mean? I mean, those are top. And for Nikki Duke to be a regular, you know, I think it would be tremendous. I'd like to do that with my own company. But you know, I'm supposed to have a show on Saturday, and I keep nudging the venue guy, which is the Armada Brewing Company. We start in April and we go all the way until October, every like first Saturday of the month. It's an outside show, and Rome is just, he doesn't want to do this show. You know, the chance of isolated showers, it's going to be 36 degrees at night. And he's like, Mario, we can't do this. And I'm like, the ticket, I got a 5 advance ticket sale. I'm trying to send it to John Armada going, yeah, maybe we should postpone it for a week. Maybe I originally had it down for the 13th specifically because of the weather. Figuring maybe by the second week in April, at least be 50 or 55 at night. So I'm under that kind of pressure to, I have like 2 days to like cancel this thing. So I don't know. I it should be canceled. There's no way, you know, okay, you got to get the U-Haul. You got to tear down the ring. It's cold. It's going to be 10 to 20.
Is this on Saturday? But like, why would you run a show on the night of WrestleMania?
Because we're bigger than WrestleMania.
I know, but logistically.
Yeah, No, because John Armada, he marketed it as come to Armada Brewing Company and watch WrestleMania on the big screen while live wrestling is going on outside.
It's not a good idea.
But however, like Roma said, a couple guys, nobody's going to leave the big screen of WrestleMania to go out and watch, you know, live wrestling. You know, so I had it originally scheduled on the 13th, and I'm going to try to push it. The thing is, you know, I don't want to piss the guy off to the point where I blow the deal. You know what I mean?
What he should have done was started with live pro wrestling, and then when the pro wrestling is finished, people can stay there, drink their beers, and watch WrestleMania.
Yeah, we should start like a 4 o'clock ring time or some bell time. Yeah. I don't know. I feel a little better. I came home from work at 3:30, and I made sure I took a nap before I did this, or else you would have seen a totally different guy if I didn't take that nap. So, I'm gonna toss it around when I get off of here and get a hold of John and see what else what other things we can do here, because I can't. You know, my buddy Joe, Broadway Joe Malcolm, he was with the NWA when I was with the WWF, and he was doing jobs for Buzz Sawyer and Big Van Vader and all those guys while I was doing jobs over here. And he ran his first show on Saturday. He just looked at me and he goes, "Well, I forgot how much this sucks." I'm like, it's a lot of stress. And I always tell Roma, you know, we did this to have fun. We brought Paradise Alley together in 2014. So when we all had, well, when I had a wife in my life, and you know, obviously Roma had a wife and Perez and Big Steve, we created Paradise Alley Pro Wrestling so we can go, "All right, we got to go to the wrestling school so all four of us can spend time together," because we've been together for years, and we figure, you know, it's a nice little club to, you know, teach people how to wrestle, and it was never going to be a promotion. And then we went, "Hey, you want to?" By 2000.
It sounds like when I have my DJ events to get out of the house at least once a month.
Right. So it's like, you know, we're scratching our head going, "You want to run a show?" You know, and then here we are, 2024. It's like Saban, you know, it's like Kevin comes Monday and Tuesday nights, and that means everything to him because he like works from home. So he's working from home. He is home. He does yard work. You know, he's like, "Bro, if I don't come to Paradise Alley Monday and Tuesday nights," he goes, "All right, maybe you'll go out to dinner on a Thursday night." But he goes, like, "This is my outlet." You know what I mean? So, listen. Brutus Beefcake was an asshole back in the 80s. He was an asshole. He was mine. He was my ass. All right. I complained to Hogan about him just like everybody else. But he was there with us. And let me tell you something. If you weren't marketable and you didn't have the it factor, no matter who you came in with or how close you were to somebody, Vince would have said, "I'd like to help you, but I can't. There's nothing I can do with this guy." That wasn't Eddie. He had a gimmick that worked. It transformed into something else that worked even bigger, being the barber. And this guy who single-handedly drove WCW into the ground, who took the greatest wrestler that ever lived, the greatest wrestler to ever enter a wrestling ring, and debuted him as a guest referee, being Bret Hart. This guy's got the balls to say Eddie was Hogan's, he carried Hogan's bag. He had the balls to say Hogan came to the WCW with a tax, and we knew that tax we had to pay was Brutus bleeping Beefcake. Well, let me tell you something. I was on Hey Roma, and I looked into the camera, and I said, "Eddie, I hope when you see Eric Bischoff, you spit right in his face." You know, and the guy suffered an injury that would have killed most people. You know what I mean? Fortunately, Eddie had a big head, so he survived. Listen, I love him. You know, I love Valentine. I text Wayne a little bit this week. I actually was on the phone with Lombardi about 25 minutes this week. It really wasn't fun at all.
Friends now?
Barely. You know, I signed this big contract with this major movie production company to So did Roma. What's your contract say? Better be for the same money. And I'm recruiting people. I reached out to Wayne. Wayne said, I'm still under contract with the WWE. Fair enough.
A Legends deal? Yeah. That's why those things are controversial.
But Lombardi, he's not doing it because he's waiting for Brian. Lombardi won't do it. He won't. Listen, all fairness, I can't get Costello either. Costello would never do that. Listen, I'm saying it right here on this show. I would love for a Bri, we're doing a documentary with a major movie production company. Oh, yeah? What's it on, pro wrestling? No, it's about obliterating Vince McMahon. Yeah, so anyway, how are the cheesecakes going? He's as much as there's a lot of love there, Bri would say, yeah, Mario. But the reason why Lombardi won't do it is because he's waiting for his call to go into the Hall of Fame.
Not with Patterson deceased, right?
Let me tell you something. You will be, people will be going to the cemetery visiting his headstone. You still won't get that phone call. You know what I mean? So, you know, Rita Chatterton was, you know, a guest referee, a guest timekeeper at this show on Saturday. Poor Joe. We'll straighten it out for the next time for him, though. And, you know, I was telling Rita about it. And, you know, we put our heads together. And I took a picture and I sent it to the executive producer. Like, salivating. Oh, my God. Where are you? I'm at a wrestling show. I'm a guest referee at a wrestling show. And Rita's here. And, you know, when it comes to Rita, she's like this. You know, she can't do anything. You know?
Not for a while.
No, as Rita said, she goes, I'll be more than happy to do these things if they want to interview me of what inspired me to be a referee, what made me go to wrestling school, how it felt to referee in the WWE. She goes, I'll be more than happy to do these interviews. That's all I could talk about. I won't talk about anything else. So, but the executive producer was like, damn. So, you know, I'm out there recruiting and, to see who will come on this thing with us and do this thing, because I really don't give a shit. You know, as I said to Lombardi, I mean, at some point, can't you just look and say he did this to himself? At some point, this is self-inflicted, allegedly.
Do the people that you're recruiting have to be wrestlers or have to be from a certain era, or can they just be anyone with kind of firsthand information on the boss?
Well, you know what? Listen, here's the deal. There's me. Okay. It has to be. There's me. You know, guys like Joe Murdo and, you know what I mean? Whoever else want to name, Reno Riggins or whatever, you know what I mean? Then you had those guys that were on the cusp. Brian Costello, he was on the cusp. He was a guy like him, Barry Horowitz, these guys, you know.
Nails. There's another guy you should get, Nails.
Yeah, so these guys at a snap of a finger, if you gave them the gimmick, it would have worked for them. Especially Brian went all over the place, man. In Japan, he went everywhere, you know. So, you know, as he just clanked in, maybe he would say, listen, man, maybe Brian would say, listen, I don't really want to talk about Vince. I don't want to talk about Mel Phillips. I don't want to talk about Pat Patterson or Terry Garvin or any of that stuff. But hell, man, I'll go in there and crush Johnny Ace. We'll take that too. Come on and crush Johnny Ace. I'll take that too. Listen, I got really upset. I you know, when I got out in 92, I went out. I never looked back. And I never looked back in I'll tell Stephanie, get a hold of Ken there. So I never looked back. I never stuck my nose in. I never asked any questions. And you know, all of a sudden I hear that this guy, he walks into the dressing room and everybody starts shaking in their boots. Their anxiety goes up. This talks to people like shit. I was like, oh, no. I would have went right to Strongbow. I would have went, Chief, this isn't right, man. You know what? I'm not used to that. I mean, were you treated like shit? Yeah, you were treated like shit at times, you know what I mean? But, you know, they didn't, like, abuse you as a professional or make you feel like you're going to lose your job or anything like that. Or, you know, even if you did something wrong in the ring, you know, you'd have Arnold Skolin or Gorilla Monsoon or Strongbow or Patterson and say, come here. Tomorrow night, you want to do it like this. And, you know what I mean? They didn't go, hey, you fucked up. And come here. It didn't happen. You know, I find in my life, because when I got out of wrestling, I found myself at a very young age with about 160 employees underneath me. And I was hiring, firing, and I had about 34 client contacts that I would maintenance. There's a uniform security company. And even at that young age, you know, people in authority, I believe people of authority have to set an example. That's what they have to do, is set an example. And not let it go to their head just because they're in some position, think they could. Hey, listen, in Paradise Alley, there are no, and you'll appreciate this word, Mo, there are no shenanigans. None. Well, it's not, hey, man, you want to work for me? Sleep with me. None of that crap. No. You're there based on your talent. Whether I think or Roman thinks people are going to buy tickets to come and see you. You know what I mean? As I tell everybody when they walk through that door, you're not a male or a female. You're a wrestler. So, you know, I just think a guy like Laurinaitis, you know, there's another sick son of a bitch. He probably laid in bed and you know, waxed it off thinking about the position he had with the company. Probably guys rocks. Hey, listen, man, listen. What Costello could be, what he could hang on his hat rack and know for the rest of his life, that when it went down, he turned on Vince immediately. He turned on Vince immediately. stabbed him right in the back, Laurinaitis. You know, so because I guess he had his wife to answer to, but I don't. Amongst all the allegations, doesn't he have his wife to answer to about the Bella twins? So I don't know.
Is there a working title for the project that you can share? Is it like Surviving Vince McMahon or any of those?
No. It just says McMahon Doc for now.
Has any filming commenced yet? Or are you waiting to collect more people?
Yeah, we're waiting to collect more people. And like I said, Brian gave me an opening, man, there, because listen, we did these guys really good. You know what I mean? We talked a lot. Roman knows a hell of a lot more and witnessed a lot more than I did. As far as Jerry O, coming home with Jerry O and Jerry O looking at him going, I can't do this anymore. It's not worth it. I'm not doing it. I'm not taking this anymore. As far as getting pressured by Pat, of course, he was with Jimmy Powers. Jimmy Powers felt a tremendous amount of pressure from Pat on a daily basis. So, you know, Rome has been exposed to that stuff. So, you know, they I got him on the phone. I got her on the phone with a guy last week. I don't know if you can guess who it is. I really don't want to say his name, but I'll put it to you this way. He kept her on the phone for a long time. So she fell in love with him. She's like, Mario, thank you so much. So we're pointing them in the right direction, which they really appreciate a lot. And anyway, my contract does say consultant. Because you really can't pay anybody to interview them, you know what I mean? So as long as they help, Rome and I are helping them with the production. And of course, I don't mind saying on live air, of course we're going to call Marty. You know what I mean? So, you know, because there was a lot that went down there with Shawn Michaels. So,
yes.
Yeah. So what I really think is when I hung up at Lombardi, he stooged me out to the office. That's what I think.
It's nothing they can do.
That's what I think. I think he stooged me out to the office. And you know what? I really don't care. I don't, you know, what am I preserving?
I'm not so sure they care. They've washed their hands of him almost completely, and Laurinaitis is a non-entity now too. So maybe there's no one left to stooge to.
And you know what, Jack? That's my reverse psychology on this thing. As you know, Netflix blocked it because of that. But I'm saying, listen, why don't you reverse that psychology and do it? And say, look, we're exposing the old regime and letting you know that this isn't going to happen with the new regime. Reverse the psychology and say, look, we're going to put this on our network, even though we invested this, to let you guys know that this isn't going to happen anymore. You know what I mean?
Do you remember that initial Netflix project that was supposed to be aired on Vince that was supposed to have crazy shit in it? And then all of a sudden, WWE strike the deal with Netflix. Is it any coincidence at all?
Those were good people too. We had an Academy Award nominee that was going to produce the thing, direct the thing. And one day, one of the co-producers called me up. Her voice was like cracking. I'm like, what's the matter? Nah, they cut it up. It's gone. I go, what do you mean it's gone? He said, oh, not doing it. Okay. All right. What are you going to do? Go on.
Wasn't there a doc that was supposed to be basically a puff piece glorifying him?
Yes, and they killed that.
They killed both of them, right?
Yeah, that came before.
That's it, yeah.
That came before the last one. That came before it. Yeah. Yep, it came before it. And then they got rid of that. I mean, (clears throat)
I think this has been a good WrestleMania preview so far. I don't know about you guys.
Hey, listen, listen.
No script.
Far be it for me. I was a minnow in the world's biggest ocean, and I still am. I am the lowest form on the wrestling food chain.
Can I interject here, Mario, just for a second?
Go ahead.
I just did a lengthy local media interview for Eastern Ontario area, which encompasses a pretty significant population. And I highlighted some of the marquee matchups for the June 29th Great North Wrestling Schools Out Slam in Napanee, Ontario. And one of them that I mentioned was you returning to the ring for perhaps the last time ever in a six-man tag encounter. And the interviewer, who was of a younger demographic, nonetheless was well aware of you and your career and had great respect and showed great excitement that you were going to be on the bill. So I think the power of social media, the power of YouTube, and of course, carrying the Mario Mancini Show and others, Hey Roma, your appearances on the Hannibal TV, you are now regarded as a very underutilized commodity. So I think you may have to put that tag, that familiar persona, aside for a little bit and start to take some of the credit that you so rightly deserve.
Well, Jack, I really appreciate that, but I do. I accept it humbly. I do, and I am very humbled by that. But what I'm going to compare to right now is the biggest name in Hollywood and the biggest name in wrestling. And I just don't agree with the language. I just don't agree with the language. Why is Dwayne swearing like this? Now, listen.
I think it's great.
If it's 2025, they're getting ready for the Netflix deal. It's going to go on Netflix. I get it. What's it? Why? You think it's great. You know what I think it's great? Them bringing back the blood. I think that's great. But.
Yes. Yes. That whole angle sequence was great. Tremendous. It brought back memories of the Attitude Era, what have you. But I agree. A curse here and there, okay. But the way that it was being liberally used, I think it's the law of diminishing returns. Like Moxley swears every other minute on AEW and Blades all the time too, for that matter. And it doesn't have any effect. So I think a little goes a long way and less is more.
Yeah. I mean,
I think as well, you know, those new production shots they're doing from interviewing a guy in the back and then following him with the camera through the backstage area, straight out into the stage and then flipping the camera around. There's little production things that are just fucking way, way, way above anything that AEW can do. Like they're just, WWE are so far ahead of the game, far ahead of everyone now, especially with this TKO thing as well. It's going to get bigger and better.
But what does that say about Kevin Dunn maintaining the same shots that he did for 25 years or 20 years or whatever? And now that he's gone, it looks like they're actually spending some money and modernizing their look.
Well, it was still always ahead, but there's just more to it now, I think. I think he may have been just stuck in his own ways.
I was just in shock. You know, I was just in shock that all these F-bombs started coming out. And, you know, on top of it, he's the biggest star in Hollywood. I mean, how's that look? You know,
He's just portraying a character like a bad guy in a movie. He's not going to do him any damage at all.
Well, no shit. But you know what? The demographic of the WWE over the past years was aimed toward, after the Attitude Era, was aimed toward children. So now you're getting rid of that demographic. I mean, it's okay to play Slugworth in Willy Wonka. That's a bad guy too. But you're not going to hear Slugworth in Willy Wonka going, give me that motherfucking everlasting gobstopper, you cocksucker. I mean,
I don't know. What time does it air over there? 8 p.m.? Kids should be in bed by then.
Come on, man. You're making some excuses here. I mean,
out with the DVR.
Listen, here's the deal. If you, I hate saying that because that's what Biden always says, and I can't stand them. You know, it just left me. What I was going to say just left me. I just think, you know, you're trying to switch it really fast, and I just don't see it. I mean, for Stone Cold to go out there and go, give me a hell yeah, fine, you know. For Rock to say, shut your damn mouth, okay. But what he's doing, I mean.
Do you guys get different cuts of Monday Night Raw and SmackDown over there? So we get the late night. Obviously, it's late when it airs over here. So it's like from 1, 2 a.m.
Well, no, it's not that here. And Maurice, I know where you're coming from. Yeah. And it's really hard sometimes because I think sometimes not only are you looking at it as a production kind of thing, but I think you're still looking at it as half a fan, as you are a fan of pro wrestling, you know, and I'm looking at it totally at the business end. That's what I miss the most in 41 years. You know, I had an opportunity to go out with a very, very pretty 47-year-old Spanish woman. But the deal was she wanted me to go to SmackDown with her at the Mohegan Sun, then stay over. And I just couldn't bring myself. I said, I haven't been a fan of wrestling. I haven't sat there since June of 83. It was Bob Backlund against Greg Valentine. And I miss that. I miss being a wrestling fan. I do. You guys go over WrestleMania for just 2 minutes.
What the only thing I was going to say about that was, like, obviously it's late when it airs over here, you know. But then on a Saturday and a Sunday and during the week sometimes, we get, like, different cuts of Raw, which play at an earlier time to suit the kids. So I don't see the swearing and the violence and stuff like that as a big deal because they censor, they black and white the blood, they do stuff like that, and they make, like, kids edits from these things. I don't know. I think wrestling has been missing a bit of edge for a while, so I'm happy to see it back like that.
No, he's in AEW. But in terms of bad joke. In terms of that, I'm kind of in the middle on that. I think that if it's used sparingly and for shock and awe, I think it can have a place. But if it becomes repetitive, it's the law of diminishing returns. Same with blading. Again, Moxley and AEW, every single match, even when it's not called for. Come on.
When you're watching Raw, I don't know if it's different over here because of our network, but is everything being censored? As in, like, it's live, but some of the curse words are still censored.
I hardly ever catch it live. And when I do, I usually I DVR it and liberally fast forward through a lot of, like, the call me old school, but the 20-minute dramatic soliloquies, etc., they turn me off. I think there should be more in-ring action and a little bit tempered on that. But again, I keep saying I'm not the demographic. But speaking of WrestleMania, check out this weather. A lot of people online talking about how cold it's going to be. Do you think that's going to deter any of the hotness of the crowd? No, I don't either.
I don't think so. You know, I always compare it to, like, when we were going to an outdoor concert, especially over here in Ireland, it's always raining. And people will say, well, what if it rains? I'd be like, so fucking what if it rains? You're going to pay your ticket. You got to prepare for it to rain. And you've seen what happened at Mania a few years ago with the tropical storm. So it's not going to be that bad. I don't think rain will deter people at all. I think you'll just bring ponchos or whatever just to keep yourself dry and keep the beers flowing. You'll be fine.
True. If you look at the card, night one on Saturday is just crammed with lots of stuff. I know we were talking on air or off air that it probably could have been a tighter single card, but then night two is less, headlined by, of course, Reigns versus Rhodes, the tag match in night one. I know it's such a spectacle now that they want to get two nights out of it for numerous reasons, but are you of the view that if you started off the show hot with the tag match and did the main event at the end that and eliminated some of the, well, not trying to hate on anyone, but you've got a ladder match for the tag titles with about 1,000 guys. You've got, it looks like a six woman with the debut in ring of Jade Cargill with Bianca Belair, Naomi against Damage Control. Then you've got another tag, Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dominic. You've got Uso versus Uso, which has been built a while in a kind of a disappointing Intercontinental Championship match. As far as I'm concerned, nobody believes Sami Zayn is going to be Gunther. We could have had Brock Lesnar there.
That's not going to happen because he's going to take that title, you would think, with him into that Berlin Super Show during the summer.
Yes. Yes.
So, unless and they give him a title match. Unless he loses it somehow and then goes for a world title shot over in Berlin, which is plausible. But I think he'll carry that belt in there.
And then you've still got the Women's Championship with Ripley against Becky Lynch. So night two, you've got, of course, the main event, which we talked about, Seth versus McIntyre, another Women's Championship match. United States Triple Threat, Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, and then the totally cooled off LA Knight versus AJ Styles, and then Lashley and the Street Profits versus Final Testament, that faction that you would think would have a lot more steam behind it, given that it's Karrion Kross and the Authors of Pain, which are, some pretty heavy hitters there, but they can't seem to get any steam on them. It seems like, again, they're doing two nights for a reason, but it seems like they could get a much tighter one-night show. There's a lot of filler in there, in my opinion.
You could do one six-hour show if you really wanted to do one six-hour show. They have done five-hour shows before, haven't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's an extra hour?
Yes. But all that notwithstanding, when you look at the pre-show and all the other stuff in front of it, you're looking at a very long time. Mario, just in terms of the two main events, The Rock and Reigns against Cody and Seth, and then night two, Reigns versus Cody for another problem, in my opinion, one of the World Heavyweight Championships. Where do you see that coming out? Does Cody, quote unquote, complete his story, even though Dusty was never in contention for the heavyweight championship and was brought in as an attraction really to face superstar Graham? They've kind of played with history a bit there. What do you think? How's that going to all end up, sir?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now. You took a great professional wrestler. See, let me tell you something right now. If you're a shitty in-ring performer, then your gimmick has to be bigger than your wrestling. The gimmick's got to be over. So the wrestling is mediocre, it's okay. Or you can be Bret Hart when he first came in late 84 and
a cowboy
really wasn't that good on the mic. It really didn't talk a lot, but was an in-ring master. Because wrestling was crazy. Perfect. Dusty Rhodes had both. He had both gifts. And because of hard feelings and past dealings, they brought him in and they put polka dots on him, thinking that was a uniform of shame or laughable, but he made him work. Calling Mike Jones, Virgil, calling the other guy over at the WCW, Vince. It just never ended. And in my opinion, Dusty Rhodes never got the respect he deserved in the WWF. He should have been a god there. Let's take a look, Maurice, at 1980. Didn't they bring in Dusty? That's when the old man ran the company. And the old man was friends with everyone, brothers with everyone all around the country, and they exchanged talent. Sure, you can have Andre. Hey, can we get Dusty Rhodes in the garden? Sure, we'll send Dusty down. 1980, Dusty. I think Dusty made an appearance in Madison Square Garden. The place went nuts. It went crazy. It was Dusty Rhodes. That was the only time in the WWF where that guy was Dusty Rhodes, the authentic Dusty Rhodes, because when he came in later with those damn polka dots.
You mean in that series against Superstar Graham?
So, does Dusty have anything to do with this? I think Cody paved his own way. What my brain to went immediately to, Jack, is, you got to put them over twice or job them twice. You can't job them in a tag team and then put them over in a, you know what I mean? That doesn't make sense.
I bet you that's what they go for.
He jobs out in the tag match and he goes over in the single.
He mightn't take the fall. He mightn't take the fall.
Well, his team loses.
Seth will lose. Yeah.
Well, I guess so. I guess so. There's a lot of tag team matches. Those are a lot of tag team matches. I don't know. You're talking about to a guy that was there for WrestleMania 1. So you see what I put on Facebook this week is the Forrest Gump of the WWF, because there's a shot of me the night Hogan took the boat from the Sheik. Then there's a shot of me at war to settle the score.
You're right in the back.
Still there.
Where's Mario?
I know my opinion doesn't count for anything, but I always say to you, Jack, I just don't see that star power in Cody Rhodes that everybody sees.
You know what? I have so much respect for his father. I don't see it either.
Okay. Then I'm glad I'm not the only one.
I don't see it either. He
seems like a really nice guy, though.
Yeah, I don't see it either. I think Goldust had more charisma as a worker, if you're going to talk about the family. I think Dustin had more than Cody.
Even in WCW, when he was just Dustin Rhodes, phenomenal work ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Right. So I think, and you know what? I think he had more passion than Cody. I think he had a lot more passion. I think he had a lot more proof to prove to his father than Cody did.
And he's still going.
That's a driving factor too. But, you know, I'm not saying that Cody's not deserving of anything, certainly, but it was only a few years ago he's making the independent circuit, right? So I don't know. It's like,
let's not forget that moment on AEW television when he came out and he had a mimic Triple H thrown there and he smashed it with a sledgehammer. Let's not forget about that moment either.
Well, listen, speaking of AEW, I think their ratings were the lowest in history a couple of weeks ago. I think it was like a 0.23 or something. And Roman, hey, Roman's like, hey, put a phone call into Tony Khan. He didn't call me back. Roma, right on. Hey, Roma. He goes, listen, this is what you got to do. Got to get rid of the dead weight. I could save you a lot of money. Get rid of the dead weight. And let's rebuild this thing because that's what it needs to be done.
Do you know what he needs to do as well? He needs to get rid of the Saturday night show. Nobody will watch wrestling. And he's going head to head with WrestleMania this week on Saturday. What a goon.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
You know what? What's kind of a shame, though, there are a lot of problems with that company for sure. But my opinion, after attending their shows and dealing with their media people in Ottawa and Toronto, is they get an awful lot of hate. It seems to be it's gone the other way. When it started, it was trendy to be an AEW super fan. Now it's trendy to hate on them, and I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle. And I will place blame squarely on the head of Jim Cornette and his hapless co-host Brian Last. I listen to their shows weekly, and they are very, very critical of everything that company does, and they carry a lot of stroke still in the fan base. And I'll tell you, there were some problems. There's a lot that can change. And yes, does Tony Khan need a wrestling person like Paul Roma that he'll listen to? 150%. But I enjoyed both tapings. I thought it was a real step up from going to a live event with the WWE and listening to 30-minute speeches. And I keep hearkening back to all the people that hate on AEW. If you're a wrestling fan, pal, you're not a wrestling fan. If I see these accounts that are like AEW must die, death of AEW, blah, blah, how is that a good thing for all the men and women that feed their families in the wrestling business to have a situation like that go away? I just don't get it.
Well, I didn't know they were doing that.
Oh yeah. Changes need to be made. He's making a lot of mistakes, but let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater here.
Hey, if Cornette has that big of an opinion, why does he pick up the phone and do a Smoky Mountain on him and go in there and straighten shit out for him?
He claims that he was approached by Tony Khan initially, and he's under an NDA not to talk about it, but he turned him down because he saw, and of course, speaking of profanity, in his utter eloquence, he could see that it was just going to be fucking bullshit.
That's not good enough.
Nope.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, though, Jack. Like, especially it's different when you're at a show live, though, as well. I think you kind of get a lot more respect for it, you know. And I can understand it from your perspective, being there for a few shows lately. I'd be the same if AEW was on down the road, and I went and I could see it live in person. I'm sure I'd enjoy it more than I do on TV.
I would just like all the pundits and all the experts who've never worked in the wrestling business at all, but have, you know, all these opinions, to stop and think, if you're really a fan, do we need another situation where it's just a monopoly, or is there good to be had with a little competition and giving people a place to work? People like Swerve Strickland, one of the top, in my opinion, one of the top five workers in the business today, who should be a world champion. He's going to be a world champion there. He was marginalized in the WWE, but he's making himself a star there. I think that's a good thing, and you can't call yourself a fan if you're wringing your hands at a company going out of business.
You know, not only that, it's a major company, number one. Yeah. You know, it's funny, a holiday came down to class on Tuesday, and you know, we're talking about bad wrestling. And he said, you know, Mario, if the wrestling is that bad, sometimes that's good because there's a niche for that too. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, if the wrestling is really, if the company's known for like just horrible wrestling, people will come to watch that. Just the rag on them and laugh. And he goes, there's a niche for that in itself. Really bad. I said, gee, I would have never thought of that. So, you know, the biggest point Jackie can make is if you're going to sit in a high school auditorium and watch independent pro wrestling, and there's a lot of good independent pro wrestling on there, albeit it's not AEW or WWE, you're going to go to an arena and watch, you know, AEW, you're going to be that judgmental?
I don't think so. Not if you're paying for a ticket, really.
You know, it's like, I don't know. The monopoly thing's the biggest thing for me. But then again, that was hellbent being on Vince. And, you know, Maurice will tell you 2 years ago when he sat in that square right there and went, Vince is out. And I went, you're out of your mind. He's really out. He's really out. He's out. So, you know, people should.
I think there's an update on Vince there. I think it's the second last chat there, Jack, if you can get it up.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Vince was on Epstein's Island.
Allegedly. Thanks, Barry.
Tony Khan, too.
Yeah. I don't think Tony is old enough.
Yeah, that I don't believe. If we could just switch gears for a second, Mario, I want to get an update for all the fans. I know we touched on it briefly, but you're making your return to the ring on June 29th at the Napanee Schools Out Slam, Great North Wrestling. Speaking of supporting independent wrestling, I know you're having some shoulder problems. How is that process of getting ready going for you?
Well, the shoulder set me back a little bit, but like I said, I got a Monday. I had a nice shot of cortisone in it, and you got to wait a couple days after that to, because it's kind of like somebody's pounding on your inside. There's a gremlin in there, like needle in your shoulder after you get that shot. So, I do have to tell you, when I was a guest referee, I really moved around a lot. I it felt good being in there moving around like that. So. Probably by the middle of next week, I'll probably resume doing some chain wrestling at Paradise Alley. And, since I'm the owner and I have a key, I will probably go in there starting on Thursday nights and start doing some rope work, to make sure that, you know, everything's good.
Put it up on the TikTok page.
You know what? Something really weird happened to me on TikTok. Really weird. So now, you know, we got the singing wrestler, right? So, and I never got any more than like 650 views or maybe 29, likes. I put this Schoolhouse Rock. Up on my TikTok. Mm-hmm. I have 309,000 views.
Holy Toledo.
And 17,900 likes.
You're over.
Something I used to watch when I was 11 years old on Saturday mornings.
I don't know what that is.
Because you're too young. So Saturday mornings, while you're watching Bugs Bunny and the Roadrunner, this guy, these things would come on, you know, it, you know, teach you about conjunctions. And then there was another one, Lolly would come on and teach you about adverbs and stuff. And there were little lessons for kids. And the thing just exploded on my TikTok.
Comment from Mr. Wilder.
Which reminds me, please.
Wilder, get the tables.
So, that's Maurice, tremendous. I apologize. Make sure you edit my swearing out or YouTube will break your stones.
Oh, no, I don't care. That's funny. They won't censor Mario Mancini.
Oh, yes, they will.
They know better.
Wait, here's John Armato. What did he say?
Mario, you touched on earlier some of the pitfalls of promoting independent wrestling, and I just want to take a minute to share something with the audience. I've been waiting months for the poster for the June 29th Napanee Schools Out Slam to come out. I paid for the work to be done in January, and I've been trying to get updates.
Come in!
Is that...
Who's at the door? Is it Scott?
Come in.
Is that a gentleman caller? Oh my god! The suspense is killing me.
Is it a Subway? Is it a takeaway? No.
This is live TV. I don't want to start up again in case it's something monumental. He looks like he's gonna fall over there.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Maurice, Jack.
Who is it?
Who is it? Who just came through my door?
The Roma.
There he is.
Oh, brilliant.
There he is.
That's the guy from your show, Mario.
Hey, that's the guy from my show, the Hey Roma show. The guy from my show, Hey Roma. That's the guy from the Hey Roma show, yeah.
That's fine.
So John Armada just I'm so glad you're here.
Are you doing a show? Are you doing a show?
Yeah.
So we'll get on to the bit of business there with the poster. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to share and get your thoughts on this. You were talking about the pitfalls of independent wrestling. I've been waiting and paid for a poster as of January, early January for the event, June 29th in Napanee. And after the payment went through there's been radio silence. Even when I'm telling this man, Mr. Derek Ellis of the United States, does a lot of work apparently for wrestling companies for posters. He did three last year for Great North Wrestling. He was contracted to do this one, and he's gone completely cold to the point where I've needed the poster for the past 3 weeks to a month, and now he's disappeared. So just want to warn folks out there about the pitfalls of using shady operators that
and he took your money.
Yes, he took the money. So
Derek, see what happens, Derek? Now this is the exposure you get.
Yes, so I'd ask for the work in advance if anybody were to use him in the future or perhaps not at all. But the good news is I have a reputable person on the case right now, and we're going to have that poster early next week and disseminate it to yourself and everyone else to get the word out about this great event. But there's a cautionary tale of dealing. You never know. People can be cool one point, which he was, and then next time, boom.
So we're going to get the posters made in Ireland from here on in then after then with a trustworthy guy from over here.
That's so important.
Terrible. That's a terrible thing to do.
But before we go, I see Mario's got some issues on the go, no doubt, with Mr. Roma there. I just wanted to take a second because I know
you watch your mouth.
I'll see you in June.
gonna slap the hell out of you when I see you.
That's something that I'm gonna take very seriously too. So I so apologize. Oh, there you go. Nice.
$10.
Nice. $10. You're gonna tell Scott Wilder that? Try telling Scott signed. Wilder that's $10.
It's not signed.
That's worth 20.
Yeah,
signed at double. But Maurice wouldn't be the type to toot his own horn, but I'm going to toot it for him. And of course,
so to speak,
rope. Yes, of course. That's nothing Vince like there. And of course, Mario Mancini of the Mario Mancini Show, the draw here has a lot to do with, no doubt, the fact that Cheap Heat Productions, this podcast, other podcasts on the channel have earned a total of 5,000 subscribers. And if you look at the channel analytics, they're going way up. So more milestones to come for this great channel, started and remained by the visionary known as Morris.
Congratulations, brother.
I still think that Mario accounts for at least, and I have to research this, but at least 20% of the 1.8 million views on this channel, which is colossal.
Wow. I don't believe it, but I'll believe you.
That's some angry guy in the chat as well, haven't we?
Always not anymore.
So I got a comment here just as we went on air as well. I said we were going to bash people. So last week I interviewed Phil and April Margera. This guy said that this dude needs to stick to DJing because his enthusiasm is about as exciting as a toaster. I've never been so bored watching a podcast. And that is from Benny Lockhart on YouTube. But thank you for another view.
I'm going to say thank you for the view.
Yes.
I know we're running late, but could you just, in a Reader's Digest version, talk about what led you to start the channel and what your goals were when you started and what you see for the future?
Are you interviewing me now? The tables have turned.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I started the channel because of the COVID lockdown and I was doing DJing in my spare time. I needed to get out, like Mario talked about, getting that release and getting out and going to wrestling school. That's what I kind of had in DJing. So I started the podcast. But then once I commit to something, I got to keep it going. I could have just let it drop like most people do a podcast, but I'm just like, no, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. I'm just going to keep going and going. It's been what, like 4 years now, I think, nearly a minimum of 2 shows every week. 420 shows, I think now. I think this is the 420th. So yeah, just keep going and see what happens in the end.
Nice.
Perfect.
Yeah. Good deal.
His heart spent money.
Well, I'm sure in the future with this type of momentum, the good stuff will only increase. But I see we've burned through about an hour and 15. I'm going to throw to Mario for any final thoughts, sir. And of course, Morris.
Final thoughts?
Take it home, Mario. Take it home.
Here's the final thought. Canada. Get ready.
And I forgot his name. Mono just told me yesterday. And
what a way to go out. What a way to go out. He never disappoints, does he?
I like the way that it's unplanned. Like even here now as we're talking, let's just see what happens. Like we started and he's taking a COVID test. You know, I knew it was going to be good after that.
Yeah, he is a content machine. So go ahead.
The test may be negative, but the ticket sales are going to be positive for Great North Wrestling. Great North Wrestling on June 29th in Napanee, Ontario, Canada, with the draw, Mario Mancini.
Along with Rene Dupree against the Prodigy, Nathan Banner. And for the Hardcore Road Trip title, ECW Original defending that belt in the first time in 10 years, the Kingpin Angel Medina against Big Daddy Roy, that huge 350-pound phenomenal athlete that he is, and so much more. we're going to have more information and the poster very shortly to put out to folks. And we appreciate the enthusiasm so far in the pre-sale. But in terms of upcoming interviews, we've got a lot planned and looking forward to rolling into the next few months.
Yeah, just planning out the next 3 months now. So keep an eye on the channels. Two great interviews last night. I don't even know. It all rolls in together. I don't even know who the next two interviews are, but I know we got two booked in for next week as well. Just gone out of the top of my head.
I'm drawing a blank too, but
oh, we got Bad News Brown's daughter next week.
Yes, and another worker.
Yes, and I will have a look at it now just because it's annoying me.
So that's
Brian Idle on the 12th. Yeah.
Yes. That's why, fans, if you haven't already, click the subscribe button, like this video, and you will stay on top of all the great content that we have going. But for Mario Mancini, The Draw, and Morris, I'm Jack Kilby. Catch you next time.